paid services, Lavazzi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 386. I'm Adam, and you touch me again and I'll fillet you. I don't like doing these booming quotes because I always cock them up. Here's, what's his name again? Oh yeah, Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Your highest, 1,000 apologies for this intrusion.
Yeah, all right, but can you do the quote, please? And Mary Lang.
Time is money.
That sounded like somebody, but I don't know who it was. Oh, no, it was that character out of the Lord of the Rings films.
Gollum?
Precious.
What's his name?
Yeah, that one. This week we're going to be looking at the Sun Makers. And I'm just going to scratch my arm. Getting cold here now in Great Britain. It was hot last week. It's gone cold. We had a horrible rainy morning.
It's cold here too.
The sun came out and it stayed cold. So, yes, I'm having to resort to wearing my fleece here on the show because we're not putting the heating on yet. It's far too early, September. We've got two joiners to the viewership. That's Ashley Hughes for his 5 minutes and Alan T. Butcher for his, well, probably the whole thing. So, hello. Right then, let's get started. Unless anybody else got anything else to say that's not news. Okay, right, we'll talk about news later on. Especially Island Con.
Master. Sorry, I missed a lot of what you said there because Julia came down here and said bye. She's going back to Augusta. I missed almost
give her a
everything
cuddle.
You just said.
Can I get on now?
I suppose.
Good, right then. Episode 1, obviously Sun Makers, begins with there's quite a lot of stuff that doesn't involve the main characters, as in the Doctor, Leela and K-9 initially, because we see some chap who essentially his dad's died, and he has to pay tax for the funeral, I suppose, of several things, and he they've decided to put the tax up. He saved up all his money, and they've put the tax up, and of course, they've very kindly given the option to work 24 hours a day to make up the differential.
I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah. I did notice that there was a sort of a mention of a certain drug they were taking or he had been taking so he could work such long hours. But they did sort of keep it in the background of the text. But you could hear him sort of talking about some drug that we call it Prozac. I seem to remember when I was doing night shifts, which essentially is concentrated caffeine in a tablet.
Prozac?
Really? I beg your pardon?
Prozac has caffeine in it? I thought Prozac was an anti...
Not Prozac. Pro Plus.
Drug.
Pro Plus. Not Prozac.
Oh,
good
okay.
Grief. At least nobody's watching or listening. So I won't get picked up on that one. Probably need Prozac, to be fair. Anyway, moving on.
Nobody's watching? Absolutely nobody's watching?
Well, no, we had two, and now we've got three. Three, but it doesn't tell me, unless one of them's you, Kirby, unless one of them's me, in fact. I've got three watchers. The Watcher, that's something from Doctor Who, wasn't it? The Watcher? That was the Doctor, in fact. In fact, it was Doctor all the time. Sorry, back to this one. Yeah, so
Moen has been prepared for.
Yeah. So then, after good 4 minutes, we finally end up on the TARDIS where Leela's attempting to play chess with K-9 against the Doctor. And the Doctor's obviously he's not that keen on K-9 yet. He sort of calls K-9 Leela's dog. Lillian Robbins just joined, and hello, Lillian. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Sorry, slightly sidetracked. Yeah, so when they arrive on the roof of wherever this is, K-9 is told to stay in the TARDIS.
Master?
Yes?
It was a tobacco factory in Bristol, but now it's a shopping mall called Imperial Park. So you could go and visit.
Yeah, I could, couldn't I? But I'm not going to. So the Doctor's looking... around with his telescope, and Leela spots, I can't remember his name, clambering over the barrier, ready to jump. I suspect that the man in the distance on the first shot was in
Cordo.
Fact Cordo. That was in fact Stuart Fell, because he was actually in this episode.
Yes.
And yeah, very cleverly shot to make it look like he was, you know, quite close to the edge when actually wasn't.
Also, it looks like it's a very tall building, but basically you can only, what you see there is about the height of the building. They very cleverly shot it so that you think that it's the kilometer tall that the doctor says.
Okay. But anyway, Lillian Robbins says hi. Hi, Lillian. Yeah. So then we meet the gatherer. Oh, for God's sake. Yes. She knows.
I believe the start of one of those, of this weird period where the doctor keeps offering jelly babies, except they're licorice all sorts.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Although several times in this story, he offers the bag and people take jelly babies out of it. But up on the roof there, he just offered jelly babies and it was obviously an all sort.
Okay. Hadn't been sort of looking that closely, but thanks anyway.
Yeah, I mean, anytime he offers jelly babies in this episode, what they take out of the bag doesn't look at all like a jelly baby. So I don't know what they are, but if you say they're all sorts, then that must be.
Yeah, they're licorice all sorts, except there's I think he actually has real jelly babies when he's in the room where he's got the straitjacket.
Somebody else needs a blooming straitjacket around here. Can I get on? Right then. So they rescue him.
This is what you pay me for.
They rescue him by distracting him with jelly babies. And then we meet the gatherer and his very funny hat.
I love the gatherer, your rotundity.
Yeah, some of his immense quantity of splendid remarks about the other chap.
There's 27 of them.
Yeah, brilliant. I don't want to know. You did this last time. I don't want to have them read out again. Thank you very much. And don't call me sagacity either. Right then. No.
You enjoyed it last time.
No, I did not. Be quiet. Only because you weren't aiming them at me. If you'd been aiming them at me, I might have enjoyed them a bit more. Anyway, right, so.
Actually, I recall aiming them at you.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, right, so so they rescue him and they go back into the building and then the gatherer and Marn, is it Marn? Find and sort of examine the TARDIS while the others go down. And it's very, the gatherer's outfit is very sort of Egyptian-esque, I feel. On
it is, yeah. Now that you say it, yeah.
Actually, I think it's supposed to be more Mayan.
Okay. Anyway, so they gradually go down these tunnels. Now, we talked about them last time. They look like a disused a tube station.
I was going to say subway station, but yeah, call it tube.
Here we go.
Yeah, Camden Town deep tube shelters.
Oh, so I was right then.
Well, they were originally going to use them as an express tube line, but never did.
Yes, there's quite a lot of these apparently around London, disused and sort of semi-built subways that weren't ever used because one reason the owners of the land said, no, hang on, I actually own the land that goes down to the core of the earth, so you can't put a subway under there and stuff like that.
But this one was originally built as a shelter during World War II.
Yeah, but there's loads. There was a program that I watched about the London Underground, and there's absolutely hundreds of disused and built but never used stations, and that'll be on the surface and underground. It's absolutely fascinating, and there's all these tunnels that are there, but have never had a train pass through them. Special people can access them.
In those documentaries, did they say why they were never used?
Well, like I said, because there was talk of a sort of line that was heading towards Wembley, and they were built it, and while it was being argued in court, they carried on building it, and then the owner of the land, like I said, won the argument essentially in court, and they had to stop. But the line is still there; it never got completed. But there's quite a lot. There's a fascinating program. I'm sure it's available to see somewhere.
That's good for going ahead anyway.
Yeah. But yeah,
I subscribe to a YouTube channel all about the London Tube. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Cheers. Anyway, right, so, like you say, they work their way down, and K-9 comes out of the TARDIS. I love the way they shot that. just his nose coming out. And then, why did he come out? I can't remember. Did he just decide to?
I think he just decided to.
Yeah.
I love K-9 in this story.
So, and then we meet the sort of rebels, I suppose you'd call them. It was sort of typical in these sort of stories. Laurie Nix says, hello. So I'll have to say back to Laurie Nix, hello. And she turned Scottish all of a sudden. I don't know. Hello. So we meet all these rebels, one of which is that chap from Blake 7.
Michael Keating.
Yeah, I can't remember the character. Was it Villa?
Yeah, it was Villa.
Now, I'll tell you what, I loved Villa. I mean, I didn't watch all of Blake 7, but I remember when I did watch, I absolutely loved Villa. He was my favourite character in Blake 7. But he was horrible in this one.
I mean, I've only really listened to Blake 7 through Big Finish audios.
Oh, is he in those?
He plays Villa in those.
Oh, cool. So the Doctor is immediately accosted by these villains. So is that chap who nearly jumped off the roof. I'm going to get the other name again from Kirby. I'll get these names eventually. Lillian Robin says, I will call Adam your magnificence. Thank you, Lillian. Where's my bell gone? Oh, there it is. Well done. And there's a brilliant scene that was my quote when that was that horrible lady, the real sort of psychopath woman. What was her name? Anyway, was it Zeet or something like that?
Underneath, yeah,
Veet. Veet, that's it. And Leela grabs her from behind and puts a knife to her throat and says, I'll fillet you or something like that, which I quite liked. Leela was really good in the story. She was very Leela-ish, but she was brilliant. And some of the things, lines she said, and that is a promised thing as well, quite like when she said that. And they loved the credit card they were trying to fake, it's about that 3 inches thick.
Yeah,
that's quite amusing.
Well, according to the info text, they wanted to make it obvious that was a
Barclay card,
a credit card, or a Barclay card, but they couldn't make it exactly right because they didn't want advertising, as you know.
Mm, but it does look like a Barclay card. The logo is quite similar. From you don't see it close up, but the logo is quite similar to what a Barclay card would have looked like in the mid 70s. Yeah, so they don't trust the Doctor at all, and then K-9 comes along and sort of gets told off by the Doctor for disobeying orders, and just moving forward a little bit. Then the Doctor is sort of more or less, what would you call it, hoodwinked into helping them out. So he's sent on a mission with that bloke who tried to jump off the roof. Wait for it.
Ordo.
Cordo. Was it Cordo? Was it?
Yeah.
How many more times am I going to forget that? So he goes into this little box.
Correct. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. He goes into a little box and thinks he's got what he needed and then gets gassed. End of episode one. Got a feeling this could be a quick episode.
He shouldn't have eaten so many beans.
And Lillian Robbins says, thank you, your mightiness. Have I got my flies open?
He's going to pick up where Kirby.
Hey, what are you laughing at, Kirby?
Huh?
What are you laughing at?
What Mary just said.
Oh, well, should actually be laughing what I'm saying.
I said Lillian is going to pick up where Kirby leaves off.
Yeah.
For Kirby, and no points deducted, by the way, because there won't be a quiz this week. Because I didn't think it was worth it, because Kirby would win. No offence, Mary.
No offence taken. Okay.
Apparently, I won last time, according to my database.
Again, doubly a reason for not having the quiz this week. Lillian Robin, that was the last one. We did that one. Sorry about that. Matthew Kressel's joined. What we really should get Matthew to do is a crowdfund a computer so he'd actually partake in podcasting. Because obviously he has problems in that area.
Well, it would be nice to have him on.
Yes, that's what she said. Oh, no, sorry. That was
if you're so aware of what happened last time, you probably would win the quiz this time, too, since you probably know all the answers.
Yeah, I don't remember them all.
I bet you would.
But I love this story, so I probably would, yes.
Yeah.
The character of the leader bloke. He was in Heartbeat, wasn't he? What's his name? The leader of the rebels.
Mandrill.
Mandrill. What a strange name. It sounds like always.
He's a baboon, I guess.
Yeah, but mandrills were also sort of monsters in Doctor Who, weren't they? No.
Yes, I believe so.
I wonder why I believe so. I'm correct. So yeah, it was a bit of a sort of off-putting name. And then finally we meet. Is it the Collector?
The Collector. Yeah. Yay!
He's fantastic.
He's an amazing character.
And he really does love playing the part too. You can tell. Tom Baker, the Doctor, meanwhile, has been put in a straitjacket next to a young chap who seems to be quite happy with the situation. And I love the way they wrap in the straitjacket but still leave his scarf on him and just lay the scarf down his leg.
And yet his jelly babies are accessible outside of the straitjacket.
Hang on, I've got a thingy come through.
He didn't get to his jelly babies until he was freed.
Oh, okay.
Grief. Sorry, somebody whose wedding I shot a couple of years ago is asking me a random question about hard drives. So we'll talk about that later.
Now, since we're talking about the Collector and weddings, I pointed out on Facebook that Henry Wolfe played the photographer at the beginning of a Rocky Horror Picture Show. He was also one of the Transylvanians.
Thank you for that.
He says the first words in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Does he really?
After the theme song, of course.
That's marvellous, isn't it? Thank you, Kirby. Right then, so there's a lovely scene in which all these blokes try to fight off Leela. Like I say, Leela's fantastic in this story. And then the Doctor.
This is her favorite, Louise Jameson's favorite story.
Is it? Yeah, for good reason.
Yeah.
The
Doctor jumps up while in his straitjacket and tries to operate a few knobs. And then we see the first brilliant scenes of the Gatherers creeping to the Collector, which I absolutely adore. The interesting thing about a couple of these scenes where Leela's sort of standing up for herself against these rebels, there's a bloke standing in the background who's also in her last story, which is, what's it called again? The
Invasion of Time.
That's the one, Invasion of Time. He plays one of the, not the Time Lords, the ones outside the Citadel, like the savages, I suppose, on Gallifrey. He plays the leader of one of this group of savages, which I think Leela joins for a little while. I thought that was quite interesting. There's only one story to go after this one, and he's also a well-known Doctor Who stuntman. He played the android that was jerking and jumped off the cliff in the Android Invasion. Is that the one? Is that right? The Android Invasion? Yeah. He played that one. And he also played, I seem to remember, a guard in one of the John Pertwee stories. Yeah, he's been around a bit in Doctor Who, this chap. Just sort of say that because he's prominent in this story for a little while anyway.
Oh, Tom Kelly is his name.
Is it? Well done, Kirby. Don't get any points for that because, like I said, we're not doing a quiz this week.
In The Face of Evil, he was in Sunmakers, Invasion of Time. He's been in Blake Seven's Sapphire and Steel and Dempsey and Makepeace.
Yeah, shut up. Right then, so they seem like the guards come in and put some headgear on the Doctor's tall posh friend with the lisp.
Bishop.
Thank you. And then K-9 gives the impression he's traveling around the place really easy when you don't really see him move a lot. And then one of the guards comes in and undoes the Doctor's straitjacket. And then Leela and some of the rebels are going on a mission, which involves them going down a tunnel and using K-9 to zap people. The Doctor, meanwhile, is invited in to see the Gatherer, and they have a fairly comedic conversation, exchanging jelly babies during the course of it. And because obviously, I think that he's trying to get on into the Doctor's side a little bit, but then they use their CCTV to follow the Doctor, and then Leela comes in and rescues the tall chap who Bishop.
Is it Fisher?
Well,
it's Bishop.
It's Bisham.
Bisham. There you go.
Bisham.
Yes. Anyway, so
okay.
And then...
I might have done okay on the quiz.
Yeah, you would have done okay on the quiz.
Certainly better than I have. So the Doctor, meanwhile, goes down and wonders where Leela's got to and gets threatened a couple of times. And then there's a corridor scene in which they're cornered, basically. And you think, how are they going to get out of that one? Well, I thought at the time, I think maybe K-9's going to zap someone.
Master?
What?
Those guns?
Made of wood.
They're
made of wood.
No.
What?
They're made of cardboard.
Okay.
Well, they sure don't sound like cardboard when they hit the floor.
They weren't particularly impressive.
It's in both the info text and Louise Jameson mentions it in the commentary.
Jason Chuang has just joined. Hello, Jason. Of the people that can admit watching this particular vidcast. Right, so Leela's particularly enjoying herself in these little skirmishes. The Doctor is getting picked on. He's getting bullied a little bit by Mandrill. And then, just skipping forward a little bit. And there's another little scheme is put together. Then Leela, with a bandage around her head, never worked out what the bandage was for, gets brought in to see the Collector and sentenced to being steamed to death, I believe.
Steamed to death, yes. Mm.
Lillian Robin says, I try to watch every time, Your Magnificence. She's on the right lines there, but I'm sure there's some more superlatives you can use. Right, anyway, sorry. The Doctor, what's he doing there? He's making something. He's doing something with an eyepiece on, but I can't remember what it was. Right, so just skipping forward a little bit. I didn't realise how long these rather interesting and amusing conversations were between the Gatherer and the Collector, because I got sort of embroiled in them, but they actually do take up quite a lot of time on the screen.
They do, and they're wonderful.
Exactly. And then we have this, there's another scene where Leela is sort of, she's got a straight suit on rather than a straight jacket, and she's tied to the wall by a piece of string, just leaning forward.
Yeah. It was a bit Master.
Uh-oh, here we go. Yes.
During filming, they, as a joke, they left her hanging and went on a break. It was a fake break, but they did that.
That's nice of them. All right, so the Doctor seemed to have been teamed up with K-9 now, and then there's a broadcast goes out that they should, obviously he's a criminal, and. He's about to get handed in by some guards, his little friends turn up and they overturn them, and then they start sort of getting loads of workers to join the cause. And then there's another thing that goes out that they're going to have the public execution of Leela. And there's a charge for it, I believe. So that's quite a minimal charge. And Leela is put in a tube ready for steaming, and they all sit down ready to watch it. Well, not everybody, obviously the Collector and the Gatherer do, and the Collector does a particularly evil smile and laugh, and rubs his little hands together. Mary,
that little speech that the Collector gives about wanting to hear all the nuances of sound of the victim, oh my god, that was creepy. That was really creepy.
So that's it. That's what we see. The story ends. The episode ends. I think the Doctor's heading in to rescue her, but they've only got a limited period of time before.
I believe it's 2 minutes.
Yeah, before Mandrill shuts them in, and so obviously the Doctor does get in there, does release Leela, and they get out just in the nick of time. And the Gatherer is not particularly impressed by the fact that he didn't get to hear the screams, and. The Doctor and Leela are reunited, and that chap.
Shut up, magic.
That chap, Cordo, gets a big hug off Leela.
They really do hug.
And I bet he was happy if they had to reshoot that scene a few times. Yes, Kirby.
That was an ad lib. He was not expecting it.
What, the hug?
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. What a nice ad lib for him. Did she like him or something?
Maybe.
No wonder he's smiling. Right, so from then on, the sort of roping in of revolutionaries accelerates 10 to 20 fold, and the Doctor finds his way into a vault, and then Leela gets after she gets hypnotized, doesn't she? Because he knocks out the guard. Oh,
yeah, that's a great scene. Yeah.
It's very very Sarah Jane-esque. Anyway, so
yeah, I think the exact same thing happened in the last Sarah Jane story.
Yeah, and also in one of the John Pertwee with Sarah Jane stories, I think that.
Oh, that's well. Right.
So they end up in a vault.
When the guard comes to, you know, and holds the gun to the doctor's. I love the doctor's confusion. It's like, what did I say?
And then the knife goes in his back. But yeah, so they find this vault, and Leela sort of jumps in and gets zapped. And did you notice? Now I told you guys to look out for those little square shaped things that keep cropping up in Doctor Who. The walls yes. of the vault are these little square shaped things. Is that a yes, Kirby?
Yes. I pointed that out to Fred when we were watching it.
Yeah, keep an eye out for those.
What's the significance of those little square things?
They're just obviously reused props that crop up in regularly in Doctor Who around that period.
They were built
four times.
The name of the fourth Doctor's second episode with the space station.
Ark in Space.
Yes, Ark in Space. They were built for Ark in Space, and then they've used them many, many times since.
Yes. Oh, okay.
So anyway,
ever know what's in those little things? I mean, why they?
So
were
they
in
do. They occasionally have them as buttons. They occasionally have them as hiding things. They occasionally just background bits of scenery, but they regularly appear. Anything that's not obviously set in a classical time, if it's a futuristic time, these particular panels will crop up somewhere. So keep an eye on them, and we'll see how far in to even I think Peter Davison's era we do see them as well.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on. So
those they managed to preserve, and yet they managed to store the wooden TARDIS so poorly that they had to retire it.
Indeed. Well, because those things are made out of plastic or something like that, whereas the TARDIS is made out of wood. Possibly. I don't know. Anyway, there's a horrible scene in which that psychopath Vita, whatever her name is, sort of orchestrates the murder of the Gatherer by lobbing him off the roof, which is very inappropriate, it's got to be said.
Yeah.
Especially the fact they're all stood there cheering and all really, really pleased with themselves. It's murder.
Yes,
they should.
I'm sorry, but it is kind of comedic murder, though.
Comedic murder.
Is there anything comedic about murder?
No. there is in Blackadder, but that's not
left
the point.
And right. So
I remember laughing at that scene in 1980 when I first saw it.
It's still murder. He should have had a fair trial and then maybe got murdered after that. I don't know.
Right.
They just lobbed him off the building. Not a nice thing to do. Anyway, then the Doctor is finally left alone with the Collector for a lovely little scene, which really reminded me of the little scene when the Doctor and Davros were left on their own in Genesis of the Daleks. Because he's quite a Davrosy type character, really. In fact, he's in this little chair and stuff like that. So there's lots of good stuff going on, which culminates eventually in him flushing him down the chair into this little plug on.
Chair.
And then putting the plug in.
Yeah. What we forgot to mention, we talked about the guard that was sort of hypnotized to sleep by the Doctor, and then he wakes up. Yeah. Is in fact Stuart Fell. I don't know how many more stories we're going to get him in, but he was the guard.
I believe this may be one of his last ones.
I think it is too. Anyway, so he gets flushed down the chair, and then Leela puts up. No, who put the plug in? Was it Leela? No, it was.
No, I think the Doctor does.
No, it's not. Somebody with a white sleeve.
No, it's someone else.
I think it might have been Mandrill. And then, they go onto the roof, say goodbye, don't chuck anybody else off the building, and obviously K-9's just about to win the chess game, and the Doctor flicks a switch and everything, including the chessboard, goes flying. And he's very pleased with himself after that. So there we go. That is the Sunmakers, Right, a very political story, The Sun Makers. It's clearly aimed at anti-government, anti-tax and stuff like that, and the way that workers are mistreated and expected to work all hours of the day just to make ends meet. It doesn't sort of shy away from anything that way. But it is a precious piece of Doctor Who because, one, Louise Jameson is fantastic. Leela is just superb in this story. K-9 is in it, and apart from obviously you can't travel much, but they've actually made it look like you can.
Yes.
It's got some overacting in it, which is Doctor Who's got to have somewhere along the line, and some very, very memorable characters, and I really do enjoy this story. It is funny that we talk about the chap being chopped off the building as murder, but it's done, like Kirby said, in quite a comedic way. And I don't think it was supposed to be taken too seriously, this story.
No,
it's really, really good. And knowing this is Louise Jameson's last series, it's such a shame because what gets me from Louise Jameson and Tom Baker didn't want to have a companion at the beginning of it. But he was so taken by the talent of Louise Jameson that he loved having her around as his companion. And it's just such a shame that wasn't able to continue after this series. Because I love Leela. I think she's great. Not quite as good as Sarah Jane, but not a bad replacement at the end of the day. I think she's been fantastic. And what an actress. And it's her acting abilities that made Leela, for me, a lovable character. So before we move on to someone else, we have you are correct, Your Eminence. I think this is on the right lines, Lillian. And Laurie Nick says this is a revolution. I hope she's not talking about the listeners. And then she says mob rule. And then Lillian Roman said, "You are always correct, Your Eminence." Yes, all right, steady on, Lillian. I know I am. Love this story, Your Amplification. Yes. Thank you very much, Lillian. Okay, Kirby, what did you think of this story?
Wait, Adam. I'd like to take exception to something that you said.
Uh-oh.
You said that Tom Baker loved working with Louise. But in an interview with Louise Jameson, mm-hmm. she tells a different story that because he so much did not want a companion, he never, you know, although he was okay with working with her, they never got close. He never, you know, he never indicated at any time that he wanted her around.
I know, but that may be at the time, but what I was relating
on,
to.
You see, then when they started doing Big Finish together.
No, this is well before Big Finish. I'm referring to, to a video that came out called The Tom Baker Years, in which Tom Baker basically ran through all his stories, and we had little clips of each one of his stories. And when he came to the time that Louise Jameson was, he was just full of praise of her abilities as an actress.
Well, maybe in retrospect, but apparently it was very difficult between them. They didn't get along while they were doing these.
That does surprise me.
From what I recall, they didn't get along for two or three stories. And then right around, I think, I don't remember the exact story, some things clicked and then they were buddy-buddy.
Well, but she said that when she was invited to do Big Finish stories with him, she was even then, you know, and this is many years later, she was even then not sure he would want to work with her because they so much did not get along while they were doing this. Yeah. So. But in retrospect, he did, I guess, because he loves doing the Big Finish stories with her.
Good. Well, I get the feeling that there was a very much a sort of admiration from Tom Baker, although he may not have wanted Louise to know it at the time. He clearly did. Bearing in mind the Tom Baker year was probably put together in about 1986 or something like that. So it's not that long after. It felt like at the time when the video came out, but it wasn't that long after the Tom Baker era that he put that together.
He didn't tell her.
No, he did on the video, but she would probably not watch that. So, sorry, do we have yours? Oh, we haven't had Kirby yet, have we? Kirby, what did you think?
This is one of my all-time favorite stories. I don't care if they have cardboard guns and just silly stuff with steaming and things. It is just a fun story that I would grab this one to watch in a heartbeat.
There's a strange noise outside the door. Hang on. Huh. Spooky. They're all both dogs in here, and I hear a strange scratching noise from the outside. Well, that's the ghost of Tigger. Mary, what did you... Oh, hang on. Oh, no, I don't... Yeah, sorry. I got sidetracked there. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I guess I'm going to let down those who are looking for a lot of criticism, because this is one of my favorites, too. I absolutely love this story.
Wow.
And I was really into it. So, I watched it twice, you know, which is also why I thought, oh, I might do okay on the quiz. You know, then you canceled it. Anyway, things that either of you could have mentioned, because I thought it was common knowledge, was that Louise, or the character Leela, was supposed to die in this episode.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she was supposed to actually die, but the thing that they decided was there's so much humor in this story that they figured that if she died, that would turn the story too much, away from the humor, and B, it would trivialize her death because it's such a humorous story. And they thought that, to give her death the gravity that it deserved, that they better not. So that's why the doctor does end up rescuing her. And I hate to say it, that the thing that makes this story so wonderful is the humor. Yeah. Even in undertones, people are saying things that are so laugh-worthy, that it just keeps you engaged. I enjoyed it. Also, the fact that Tom Baker, for the first time in several stories now, is like fully engaged. I think he was having a really good time filming this, because in the last at least two stories, my criticism was that either he was sidelined, by the writing, not even in the story much, or when he was, because he didn't like the stories, he really, didn't give much of himself. But he was totally here this time, and so I really enjoyed him. And I understand why Leela thinks this is her favorite, because she's magnificent in this. She looks amazing. She looks amazing every close up.
Mary wins.
Gorgeous. And the chances that she gets to really show her acting chops, like that scene in the underground when she's criticizing the revolutionaries or whatever they were, the underworld people, about, you put on this show of bravery, but you're all just cowards. Not a single one of you, will stand with me. That is such a wonderful speech. My only criticisms would be, and here we go with Canine. Whenever he's in the shot or the main part of the action, things just almost come to a standstill while we wait for him to come in position, bring out his little weapon, and
that's
then
what she said. Him.
What? What?
Never mind. Carry on.
So I think that K-9 was a little bit of a drag on the action in the story. And the other thing that made me wonder, it made me very uncomfortable, is this really is a very dark story. There is so much murder, people being turned, sides changing at the point of a gun. And as we mentioned before, the throwing of the gatherer off the roof. There's just so much that, that would make me go, ew, why that is awful, unless it was being used to offset the humor. I don't know. But when the doctor is leaving everybody and saying, okay, they're kind of on their own now, you're going to come up with this wonderful new civilization that's going to go back and repopulate the earth. Well, for one thing, this is just Megropolis 1, and there are at least, I think, five more out there that are probably still carrying on like this one was. So I don't know what they're going to do about those. And then since these people have been living in brutal oppression for so long, being killed, being, thought of as dirt. And the only revolutionaries are people who are that way. They have that very negative, brutish kind of mind. It's like, it makes me wonder, what kind of a society is this going to be if that's the only thing they understand is brutal oppression? So that part of it, you know, I was a little uncomfortable with. But overall, I love the writing. I loved the acting. I loved the story. There.
Well, there you go. That's a turn up, isn't it, everybody? Yes. Yeah. Cherish that one. But I will say, you know, you're talking about these the rebels, you know, and I did wonder where they would get their food from and stuff like that.
If everything is shutting down, you know, how are they going to keep the sun going and how are they going to get food? And yeah.
So, yes, we have further things coming up on the live feed. John Davey, friend of the show, has joined. I hope he can remember that he promised to buy me a drink when he comes to the Isle of Wight in a few weeks' time. He says, hey there. And then Laurie Nick said, ooh, it's John. And John Davey says, I'm aboard the Sci-Fi Sea Cruise. That sounds like fun. That sounds like Kirby sort of cruise, that does.
Yes.
Hello, John. I look forward to seeing you around about the 19th of October. More news of Island Con later on, but I'll give you a slight heads up. Paul McGann, Mary.
Oh, my gosh.
Sophie Aldred, Kirby.
Well, I can't think of her name.
So I said Paul McGann. It's just taking you away, isn't it, somewhere?
Yeah, really. Totally wiped my mind of all. who's our other show presenter this time? Debbie. I told Debbie to stay
it's
away
my
from
job
him.
To lose the thread.
Which I doubt she will.
Yeah. So we've already got my photo op with Sylvester and Paul. I'm hoping to get that sorted. I didn't know whether to go for just Paul, but I thought, well, I've got one with my. I haven't got one of just me, just Sylvester, which I have taken one up on the wall. The one I've got of Doctor one is. Is me with Colin and Sylvester up at Newcastle. Last time I met John was up in Newcastle. And the one with Peter Capaldi, Scottish bloke.
Oh, you will love Sophie Aldred. You will love her. She goes to almost every convention Sylvester goes to.
I did have a conversation with her not so long ago.
Oh, yeah?
And I've had several conversations via PM on Facebook Messenger. So, I have let her know.
We had her on the podcast.
I did say that.
Con GT.
I did say that's when I had a conversation with her. But yes, I tried to get her to Island Con, several months ago, and it didn't quite work out. But fortunately, Ben, the boss, chased it up, and I was able to message her saying, absolutely delighted she's coming and look forward to interviewing her on the show. And she went, hooray! I don't know if she was being sarcastic, but I'd take that as a positive hooray. Anyway, I think we should move on to a bit of feedback. I think I shall dispatch some blurb to a certain person who's a very good orator.
Oh, no! Where's
Debbie? Oh, yes. That's a lovely picture you've got on your Facebook page there with the cuddling cats. Although the one in the middle looks like it's not particularly happy with the situation.
Well, yeah. Did you read the caption?
Waking up on Saturday, called Catterday morning after having too much to drink on a Friday night and inviting two strangers. It's a cracking picture that I like. Carry on, anyway. You've got some blurb to read.
Okay. A plutocracy. A warning to history or working 9 to 5 and 5 to 1 and 1 to 9. Dear 20 megabiters, The Sunmakers is, of course, a closely studied foreshadowing verging on providential historicism of the corporate takeover of government looming for the UK in the forthcoming Thatcherite catastrophe in the 1980s. Or was that the 1990s? And such. We are shown a neoconservative dystopia in which private control of public amenities is ubiquitous. Mm. Even the sunlight and the composition of the air supply are controlled by the overseeing company. Mm. Long working hours can be enforced, but still leave people in poverty. Untrammeled by democratic safeguards, insidious corporate masters abuse the proletariat and levy taxes both to concentrate the wealth of the few and disempower the many. Revolution is, of course, the remedy for these circumstances, and this is a cautionary tale which shows us why we should take democratic means to subvert these sorts of developments or face such a lack political means and require direct physical and ultra virus action. I guess I understand the buyers.
Sounds right to me.
It should be noted that this story is often misread as an anti-taxation rant by a writer who had been hit with a large tax bill. It is, of course, a much more thoughtful anti-capitalist satire than that. We also learn that Vila Restall, who later developed a sardonic sense of humor and found fame in the infamous terrorist group initially run by well-known convicted pedophile Raj Blake, started out on Pluto in the vicious band of desperados led by a Yorkshire copper from the 1950s. Or was that the 1960s?
It would be 50s and 60s, I think.
That murdered a senior civil servant for carrying out his legitimate duties. Mm. Yeah. All in all, The Sunmakers is entertaining and the most original story of the season of Doctor Who. There is a fairly well-realized world created through the characters and settings, though it does not quite manage to put over the scale of a whole, albeit dwarf, planet of suppressed people. Mm. Whilst being an outstanding performance by Henry Wolfe, the problematic portrayal of a Usurian from the planet Usurious is plainly anti-Semitic. Ooh, mm-hmm. really? And I trust wouldn't be repeated.
No.
Yeah, it surprises me. It never even occurred to me that it was that.
Yeah.
No,
quite
either.
Topical at the moment with the Labour Party in Great Britain and anti-Semitism, which is quite interesting because this actual story is supposed to be sort of pro-Labour. But carry on.
Okay. It surprises me this has generally excited less condemnations than the often rehearsed issues with the talons of Wen Chiang. This serial is perhaps 4 episodes too short, as it does not show the foundation of a glorious new democratic Soviet on Pluto, or why Vila departed to pursue a life of breaking and entry. Next up, Doctor Who and the Minions, or Jackson and the Bristolian
Fleece.
Okay. Mm. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I did, got me thinking actually about there was part of the script in which the Doctor was talking about Pluto being the sort of outermost body of the solar system until Castria was discovered. I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since then, we found that Pluto is not the outermost body of the solar system. I can't remember what he is, but I know it isn't. And it's not even a planet. So there you go.
Yeah, didn't they decide it was just some kind of a satellite or something?
Yeah, well, is it just
it's a dwarf planet.
A dwarf planet, indeed.
A dwarf planet.
So probably used to be a moon of another planet, I would imagine. And
right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Right, because there are actually several dwarf planets. They aren't in the same plane as the rest of the planets. They've got the, like, wacko orbits.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while, every few hundred years or whatever, Pluto comes inside the orbit of Neptune. And so it really is not a planet. I completely agree that it shouldn't be classified as a planet.
It isn't classified as a planet anymore.
I just said that.
Ooh, Kirby! Yes, and thank you for that, Mr. Alan T. Butcher. Now, I suppose we better do this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
The Sunmakers by Robert Holmes. A 4-part rant about the UK tax system.
Mm.
The first major episode for K9 after they decided to keep him. At the beginning, on the roof, the TARDIS crew seem to be affected by the fear gas, even though they are in the open air, and Gather Ahead and Marn are not affected.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of running down corridors, we have riding around corridors in golf carts. We nearly get some steamy scenes with Leela, but the Doctor intervenes. This is the last outing for Leela's original costume, as it was wearing out. This story shows it is a bad idea to have a businessman in charge.
Hmm.
Laughing out.
Thank you, Ian. I will say, though, Ian has jogged my memory about the corridors in this story. And they just reminded me of when I was doing art at school and we had to do those perspective drawings where we just drew a square and those lines to infinity sort of thing. Some of the camera angles are sort of depicted that perspective quite nicely. Anyway, thank you.
I've not been able to identify where those corridors are. On the webpage, Doctor Who locations.
Well, that's rather refreshing. Excellent. Right then, apparently Kirby posted something on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, asking for comments on this story. And I can't find the 20 megabyte page. Where's that gone? Oh, there it is. Right. Let's see what we got, shall we? Oh, absolutely. No, I'm sort of just trying to fill. We'll try and find the post. Where'd you put it? Oh, there it is. Okay, what we got? We've got Kirby Bartlett Sloan. I don't want to know what you have to say. Laurie Nick said, great, snarky, special commentary and entertaining.
Social.
Oh, sorry. Great, snarky, social commentary and entertaining as well. At all. Shall I get you to do this one, Mary? Because I seem to have lost the ability to read. Oh, I'll start again. It's on the... I'll do it myself. Great, snarky, social... go on, then.
Great. Yeah, he never gets to read anything, so let him do it.
No, go on then, Kirby.
Great, snarky, social commentary and entertaining as all get out, but a bit simplistic. Still, smash the system!
Oh, is that it? Sorry, thank you very much for that, Laurie. And then some weird videos are posted, which don't work particularly well on audio presentations. From, I don't know, was that Austin Powers? And there was another clip.
Yes, there were Austin Powers, and I'm not seeing them anymore.
Never mind. If Kirby Bartlett-Sloan ever wants to change things up a bit for the podcast, instead of calling Adam Pearson Master, you might want to try the following terms of endearment. Dear, your highest, your sublimity, your eminence, your elevation, your pinnacle, your colossus, your hugeness. That's the right. That's probably the one I'd probably go for. Mm-hmm. Not in, obviously, me being fat, of course. Your amplification. That's appropriate for a podcast. Your vastness. That's implying I'm fat. What?
If you were to go to my response... What? If you're going to read these, I noted to her that she missed some of them.
Oh, shut up. Your volume and your volume. I can't even say that one. Your globosity, your mightiness, your excellence, your merciful, your sagacity, your you can't say that. Thank you. Your super eminence, monstrosity, your corpulence, your promontory, your omnipresence. I like that one. Your aggrandizement.
Aggrandizement.
All right. Your grossness and your orotundity. Orotundity. I can't even say that one.
Orotundity.
Orotundity. I try to say it right. I can't say it. And then Kirby Bartlett-Sloan says, you missed a few, and I'm not going to bother saying what they are. Laurie Nick says, Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
And there was I posted the picture that where I listed them all, whatever that was, 4 years ago.
Yeah, splendid. Kirby Bartlett-Sloan, like I have all day to count all 27 of these, I have to draw a line somewhere. Well done, Laurie, you get one of these. More replies. 1,000 pardons, your pedacity, I suppose that would be. Jeff Waddle says, this place has went mental. This place has went mental. I don't know what that means. Kirby Bartlett, so I'm not going to talk about what he says. Lillian Robin says, I love how one of the female characters in the Undercity was named Veet. Yeah, well, she would do. So Veet is a brand of hair removal. And if you're wearing particular stockings or tights, which I think Lillian, I have a funny feeling Lillian has a sort of a penchant for hosiery, they probably would be quite comfortable after.
Yeah, she does say that's the stuff she uses instead of shaving legs.
Yeah, well, yes. Ian Kirk's script, which
we missed Jeff Waddle's response.
Yeah, you missed Jeff's comment, which is good.
You've got legs. Nobody ever mentioned that. Oh dear, yeah. And then Jeff Waddle says, "I thought it was dull when viewed on transmission because who, as a kid, gets all the anti-system jokes? But now I get most of them. I still think it's dull. It's a four-part story with 10 minutes of hover car coming down a corridor at half a mile an hour does not a good story make." Right then, moving on to the next segment of the show, because I'll just check the feed and see if anything's come through. Laurie Nick said, wouldn't we all secretly love to toss the tax man off Would might want to rephrase that slightly. But I will read it as she says it. Wouldn't we all like to secretly toss the tax man off the roof? Anyway, and then Lillian Robbins said, which dog is beside you? Oh, that's Magic's ears. Look, that's Magic's ears. I'll just tip the screen down a bit and get a bit more of him. Oh, no, I can't. It's at full tilt. And I've got Magic's head. There he is. Yes, he's a... I don't know where Star is. Oh, she's sat behind him. There's a brown blob just behind Magic there. Star. she's sat behind him. She's actually lying behind him. Now we've lost a couple of viewers just talking about that. I suppose because Mary requested it, we should actually embark on a thing I said we weren't going to do. And that's this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. But I can't find the theme tune. Where's it gone? There it is. And curse you, Microsoft, for trying to do updates in the middle of me trying to open up the scores page.
And by the way, I didn't request it.
Didn't request what?
Didn't.
Well, I'm saying you did, because you sound so disappointed.
Master?
And what?
May I suggest a different take on the quiz?
No.
You. Why don't you ask
suggest
Mary...
what you blim well like, Mary. I mean, what's your name? Kirby, isn't it?
Why don't you ask Mary first, and then if she doesn't get it, let me try and get it.
Are you saying that Mary is so rubbish that she needs an advantage?
Well, isn't that what he does anyway? When the person can't answer, he says...
No, he's only doing that because if it works out in his favor, he can appear more of a smart ass. However...
Or you're saying with every question he's to ask?
With every question.
Oh, my God.
Ask you every question.
Well, I hope it backfires on you. But I'm willing to go along with that scenario. Apparently, Mary, you've got the first dibs on all of these questions.
Okay.
So I do hope it backfires on Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Right then, Mary. Where do the citizens pay their taxes?
Gosh. To the guest.
I'm going to give you that one. Put your joker on that one. Yes, it was the gatherer's office. That'll do for me. Right then, Mary.
Oh, how do I play a joker?
You
didn't think of that one, did you? Well, you've got to hope that Mary gets it wrong, and then you get the chance to play your joker, but for only half the points. I love this. It's your idea, mate, so you can't complain about it. Mary.
That's fine.
What was the gatherer's desk made out of?
Oh, I love this, and I'll play my joker. Mahogany.
Correct. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What death was selected for Citizen Cordo's father?
The golden death.
See, I want
this is going
Mary
rather
win.
Well.
Well, then you go get yourself something to drink while I answer all the questions.
Mary.
Oh, I've got a Diet Coke right here.
Mary.
Yes.
What was Cordo? What does Cordo have to take to stop him from sleeping?
Q capsules.
Yay!
Right then, Mary. What is the outermost body of the solar system according to K9?
Cassius.
And to me, because I only just mentioned it a few seconds ago. What do you need to help you pay taxes as the doctor advises Cordo?
I know.
Yeah.
A wily accountant.
Who defrauded the company of millions of Talmars?
Oh, Candor.
This is great.
What is the technical name of Pluto's sons?
I don't know. This one I don't know.
I didn't think I was going to have to use this, but... Kirby?
Joker.
Yeah?
In-station fusion satellites.
Ooh, I suppose I could give you... I'll give you a double point on that one because I'm feeling generous. All right. Okay. There's 1 point in the bonus spot. Both of you can have a go at this. It is this question. What does Mandrill say the Doctor looks like soon after they meet?
I know.
Yeah.
Ajax.
Oh, yeah.
Right then, Mary. What does Mandrill give the Doctor to the value of 1,000 Talmars?
Oh, a consume card?
Magic's growling at that one.
Shut up.
Mary.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. What denomination did the Doctor ask for at the bank?
I know.
1,000 Talmars?
No, it is a... And apparently Kirby knows.
He asked for tens.
Tens is correct. Okay. So I'm going to change the bonus pot. Two. Kirby goes up to that. Right, so there's 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What is the name of Mandrill's female companion?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
It's your question anyway. But, oh, no, sorry. It's not. It's a bonus. Go on, then.
So this is a bonus, right?
Bonus, yes.
Veet.
That's a great answer. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What type of gas was the Doctor knocked out with?
Valerium. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
While in a straitjacket, what does the Doctor think is good for the circulation?
A hop. He's hop.
Going for a little hop.
Going for a little hop. Yeah, there you go.
Right then, Mary. What is the palace guarded by?
The inner retinue.
Yay! Master.
Yes.
I remember we had an argument last time over that because they're distinctly called Negro Guards.
But she got it right, so shut up. Right then, Mary, what colour was the slider control?
You're saying inner retinue, whatever this is.
Well, you got it right. What colour was the slider control that the technician touched with, which electrocuted him?
That was that middle one. Mm. And it was,
I know.
Red? Was it red? Oh, yes.
I thought you would know, Kirby. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What does Leela ask K-9 to do to the guard before she says, stun him?
Oh, bite. Bite him.
Next one.
I might as well just go ahead and update the
Well, you're the fool who come up with this stupid idea.
I love this.
Right then, Mary, what does the Gatherer call his tactic?
I don't know.
And Kirby?
Morden's fork.
Indeed. Okay. Right then, 2 points in the bonus pot. For this question, what is the drug's critical temperature?
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
205 degrees Celsius.
Correct. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What was Mandrill's former job?
I know he was a B grade, and he was in that central place, but I don't know what the place was called.
I'm going to give you that one.
Okay.
B grade in main control, but you're too much of the right lines to be said that was wrong then. Right then, Mary.
Master?
What?
May I point out that Corda, whose job was so degrading, was a D grade.
Yeah, thank you for that. Right then, don't get any points for that, Kirby, by the way. You could get points deducted just for trying to be a... And this is very rare that we started the quiz and both of people being on zero rather than minus anything. Let's go. But you very nearly got one then. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What is Gallifrey classified as according to the company's main computer?
Ooh, a grade 3 planet. That one stuck with me.
Oops.
All of these stuck with me.
What does the Doctor have a long history of according to the computer?
I know economic subversion. What's the other one? Violence? Ooh.
Yes, indeed. Right then, next question. Where was Leela? Beg your pardon, Kirby?
It goes to Mary.
Yeah, obviously. Where was Leela to be executed?
Well, in the steam chamber, Did you want to know where it was or
well,
what?
It was in the script. Where was she to be executed?
Because I think he said the exchange hall.
Nope. Kirby?
Below the main hall.
Correct.
Oh.
Right, 2 points in the bonus pot.
Okay.
How long is the doctor given to rescue Leela from the steamer?
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, Kirby just got in there.
2 minutes.
Great. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What did the doctor call the collector?
Oh, is it fish blooded sadist?
Wow.
Yay!
Jeez.
Mary. Shut
yes.
up, magic.
Shut up, magic.
How much had the company lost in production because Leela hadn't been executed?
Was it 5 Telmars?
Kirby?
It's something like 0.047%.
Something like 0.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I guess I got it right.
Yes, you did get it right. Yes, you got
0.47.
It right. Yes, you got it right. Right then. 2 points in the bonus spot for this question. Who was the stuntman stroke actor of the bit character that Leela wanted to kill, but the doctor wouldn't let her?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You've talked about him.
Yeah.
That was Rafael.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Right, Mary.
Yeah.
What position does the gatherer want to achieve?
Oh, and I know this one. Tex Master General.
Oh, then Mary. What was the name of the tall revolutionary?
Oh, this was Bisham. Mm,
it was indeed. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What are the collector's first words to the doctor?
I know.
Oh, that's when he comes in. Make less noise.
I'll give you that one. It's kindly make less noise.
Kindly make less noise.
I'll give you that
okay,
one.
Okay.
Hang on. What's the dog doing? Magic sat over in the corner now for Garm fans. He's sat on his spot. We actually should have called him Sheldon because he's actually sat in his spot by the door. Right, Mary.
Yes.
Where is the company HQ? Shut that cat up. Set my dog off.
That would be Usurious.
Wow. Great.
Are you serious?
Well, I like the take on the word user, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Users. Uh-huh.
Right. Mary, what planet was the company's previous resource?
Ooh, that was Mars.
I never would have got any of these questions, even though I wrote them. Mary, what will the sprinklers release, killing the humans?
I know.
Oh, Kirby knows.
Oh, that wasn't the Valerian. What? I don't know.
Kirby knows.
Dianine.
Okay.
And one last question, which is in the bonus pot. What held the collector is the... Hang on. What held the collector as a form of human? What held the collector as in the form of a human? What was it that held?
I know.
Yeah, go on, him.
Because the doctor says it. Particle radiation.
Yeah, there we are. So the final scores here and the weirdest edition of the of You Won't Get This One are.
Yeah,
I think great.
In second place with 17 points, it's Kirby. But the winner this week with 54 points, it's Mary. Yes, congratulations, Mary. That goes down on Kirby's database for winners of 20 megabytes quiz.
Yes, I'm putting it in right now.
Okay, see, I did ask for this.
You did, no wonder. Okay, on the thread we have, after Lillian Robbins says, which dog is beside you? Well, we now know which dog is behind me. It's Magic. And Lillian Robin pointed out, quite rightly so, that I did not mention that she posted a picture of her legs on the thread. Sorry. sorry, Lillian. Laurie Nix, wee magic, such a cutie pie. He's actually quite cute. Not bad for an 11-year-old, is he? And Lillian Robbins says, yay, Mary.
Oh, thank you, Lillian.
Is that a variation on the Hail Mary? Sort of American sort of street version of it. Yay, Mary. So that, I was supposed to be better move on to Doctor Who news. I haven't actually seen any Doctor Who news. I know that we've got another trailer come through for the new series,
yeah,
which was quite exciting trailer. That looks quite fab, and I can't wait. It says new series promotion on BBC TV and radio. There's Sean Keaveney. Radio 6 on the 27th of September at 7 a.m. And I will say that some people around the world are able to access these things via the iPlayer, because I know TV is not accessible worldwide, is it? But I think radio shows are. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can probably access them through the BBC.
I was able to access the trailer because you posted it. When I tried to run the one the BBC put up, I couldn't.
Certain trailers are put up for worldwide use and certain ones are not. But I think BBC shows, a lot of radio shows around the world are available, especially through, there's a website that is called, I'll get it on my iPhone. What's it called again? Not iTunes. Hang on, I'll look it up.
YouTube?
Not YouTube. Tune In Radio. So look up Tune In Radio on Google. And I think most radio shows around the world can be accessed live. So obviously, if you want to listen live, you have to work out the time differential, and you can listen to Jodie Whittaker on that. And then on the Graham Norton show on BBC One on Friday the 28th from 10:35 p.m. I must try and remember to watch that. It says, Graham is joined by multi-Oscar-nominated Bradley Cooper and pop superstar Lady Gaga, who apparently was amazing in a film remake of the famous Barbara Streisand movie. Was it called in? I can't remember what it's bloody called now. What was that film that Barbara Streisand did, that musical?
It's Hello, Dolly.
No, the one where she's a rising star. What's that one called?
Star is Born?
Star is Born, yes. Lady Gaga plays Barbara Streisand's character in that, and apparently she's outstanding. Doesn't surprise me. I think she's a very nice looking lady, and she's de-gagard for this particular film. And by the way, I don't want anybody writing it. I know she's called Lady Gaga, but I prefer to call her Gaga. Thank you very much. It's my choice to call her that. Apparently, when she's been de-gagard, she looks absolutely stunning. And I don't know if it's the sort of film I would like to watch, but I think she's got presence. We saw Lady Gaga live on stage actually at Wembley Stadium when going to watch Take That, and she supported Take That, and she was booked to support Take That on that particular tour because she was an unknown, and suddenly in between getting booked on that tour she become a superstar. So it was quite interesting watching a superstar just support Take That on a thing, and yeah, she was absolutely bonkers but very memorable. Saturday Breakfast with Dermot on Radio 2, she's going to be a guest. That's from 10 a.m. On the 29th, and Saturday Mashup on CBBC. She's also going to be on that as well. So there you go, Jodie Whittaker going to be on telly quite a lot, I think, between now and the 7th of October. There's some new 13th Doctor books.
We are so close to the new show.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, we are.
I think we've got one weekend left.
Well, this is what I'm going to suggest, that obviously we're going to do next week, we're going to do Underworld. And then we break for the new series. Sadly for me, it does work out that I don't get Louise Jameson on her 400th episode, but I'm going to see if I can talk her into appearing a little bit early so as we can get her on for the Underworld or around about the Underworld episode. We'll see what happens with that. I can't promise anything. I do try these things and sometimes they backfire. The 13th Doctor books, A Good Doctor by Juno Dawson, Molten Heart by Una McCormack, and Combat Magics by Steve Cole. Now, Combat Magics is just like having a scrap with him at the back door there, although Magics in that particular instance is spelt differently. Yes, like I say, there's the new series trailer too, which we're going to listen to an audio of right now.
doctor. When people need help, I never refuse. What do we do?
Why are you asking her?
Because she's in charge, bro.
Says who?
Says us.
Let's get a shift on.
Legend is Exodus. Searching for you, boy.
See, things need fixing. Do what I can.
I made it through the darkest part of the night. And now I see the sun rise. Now I feel glorious, glorious.
Don't forget to click below and subscribe to the official Doctor Who YouTube channel.
Cool. I've done that.
I haven't done that, but I may well do. Sorry, I've done it. Yes, it's all about time. So there you go. Missy comes to Big Finish. Yes, Missy, as played by Michelle Gomez, is to start a new series of audio adventures from Big Finish. Nobody sounded excited by that, but I think it's quite exciting. Doctor Who Magazine 5330 is out. Of course, you can buy it internationally from whowon.co.uk, who will also be at IslandCon. Of the weekend of the 20th and 21st of
whowon.co.uk.
Yep. New images and information. The BBC have issued a new image promoting the return of Doctor Who on Sunday, the 7th of October 2018. Episode 2 has been confirmed as being titled The Ghost Monument. Guest starring will be Sean Dooley, who played Peter Harper in BBC drama series The Street. Susan Lynch, who won the British Independent Film Award for Best Supporting Actress in the new 2003 film, 16 Years of Alcohol, and veteran actor Art Malik, wow, best known for his portrayal of Harry Coomer in the classic series Jewel in the Crown. So, yeah, I will say, looking at that particular trailer, there's a couple of shots of Bradley Walsh with stuff on his face that made him look a little bit like a male version of Seven of Nine. Now, that was a Star Trek Voyager reference. Anybody didn't know what Blimink I was talking of? Seven of Nine was a Borg character from the fantastic and probably best Star Trek franchise there has ever been. Earthshock, the 1982 fifth Doctor story, Earthshock, is to be screened at the British Film Institute in London's South Bank this November, on the 17th of November precisely, a part of the season 19 Blu-ray release, which is going to be that weekend. There's a launch party for Series 11. The Doctor Who Appreciation Society, known as DWAS, is holding a party to mark the arrival of the brand new series of Doctor Who, complete with radical new look and brand new Doctor. Now, with the new series starting on the 7th, it will be running when IslandCon is on, so I don't know how I'm going to see it, the episode that week, but I'm trying to arrange my tent, my huge tent, to go to the IslandCon site, put a TV in it, and have a little viewing facility for Doctor Who. That plan I had got agreed with Ben the boss, and then got vetoed by She Who Must Be Obeyed prior to being unvetoed. When she realised it was actually quite a good idea. So that's what I might be doing, but she just thinks hoiking that humongous tent down the stairs, it is very heavy, but it's inflatable, so you just pump it up and it's up. And inside, I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about
that's
it being blown away.
That's what she said.
Lowering the tone as usual. Zienna Merton passed away. Now, we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to talk about it again.
Yes.
So there we go. That's Doctor Who news. But I'd say it's nice to see lots of little tidbits coming through about the new series of Doctor Who. Let's see what's coming through on the Facebook thread. Oh, it's moved up a bit. Lillian Robin said, I'm so excited for the new series. Guess what? So am I. And then Laurie Nick said, I will be giving Big Finish my cash for that Missy thing. I think she meant all my cash. I don't know. And then Laurie Nick said, all my cash. there you go. Excellent. Right. Whowon.co.uk. Now, I'm pretty sure there's stuff coming out on Whowon because we're getting towards Christmas and they'd be mad not to bring out some items on that sort of front. And also the fact that, like I said, they're going to be at Comic-Con or IslandCon, as I should call it. And right, what we've got coming soon, we've got Dalek Occupation of Winter, along with that sonic screwdriver we keep talking about. Eighth Doctor Time War, appropriate considering the Eighth Doctor himself will be at IslandCon. Combat Magics, we mentioned there just a moment ago, it's a hardback book by Steve Cole. Deadbeat Escape, Dispossessed, Dominators by Ian Marta. Audio book. Didn't say who read it, actually. Oh, and the 13th Doctor Mr. Man book. Egg Cups. All these goodies we can buy. They're on pre-order at the moment. The stuff that's out now, all it says is the Doctor Who magazine 530. So watch this space for exciting Doctor Who stuff. But I can say you can still get the 13th Doctor action figure, 10th doll, which will be appearing at Island Con, because I'll be taking her along with me and probably having her on our table, along with a few other little items, including the Dalek and K9 that came with us last year. But we have actually got a Dalek at Island Con and a TARDIS, apparently, I've been promised. So we'll see how we get on with that.
Cool.
And a wonderful little girl cosplayer who apparently is one of the best cosplayer of Doctor Who in the region. So we may indeed be running a best Doctor Who cosplayer competition on the Sunday. I can't do it on the Saturday because I won't be there. But yeah, on the Sunday we may be running a competition. I'm planning to put together a little 20 megabyte certificate to for anybody who wants to come along and enter this competition. Of course, the possibility of jelly babies. Of course, you come to visit us, you get some jelly babies. There will be jelly babies available. So if you listen to the show or watch it on Facebook, you can do so at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Yes, jelly babies will be given out to anybody who says, I've listened to you, I've watched you. Of course, I'll have a huge bag and I know I'll go home with them at the end of the weekend. But you've got to try these things, haven't you? So, there we go. Lavazzi.
Can I interject with a question? The new series is going to be starting Sunday, October the 7th. Do we know what time?
No, we don't. Isn't that exciting? Not yet, no. Although Radio Times comes out next week, so I'm sure it'll be there.
I will say...
Mary, I do hope you have a windy day when we review the story Kinder with those chimes going off. It would be really sort of atmospheric.
You can use the chimes. And I've got the window shut.
I'm kind of glad that we're not recording on the 7th because I'm taking a couple of girls to a Atlanta comic convention that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be during our normal recording time. But that also, yeah.
Now, I would take, sorry to interrupt you, but I would. I would take some Fourth Doctor scarves along to get obviously Meninda to send me to sell at the Comic Con. But I think Who One are indeed selling Fourth Doctor's Lavazzi scarves at the convention. So, but bear in mind the Seventh Doctor's going. You could get your Seventh Doctor jumper or Seventh Doctor Paisley scarf. Sadly, there's no Eighth Doctor cosplayer there because the Eighth Doctor's costume is it's different, isn't it? It's 1 minute it's a blue thing, and the next minute it's that superb thing he wore for those at the Night of the Doctor. I remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that's
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, but some lovely cosplay items there at Lavazzi. Our favourite sponsors that don't actually be on the Isle of Wight. That's the best way of putting it, isn't it? Lavazzi. So there you go. That's essentially it for this week. Next week we're going to be looking at Underworld, which is a very interesting story, not necessarily for the right reasons, but why before we go into that particular story,
there's a lot of CSO.
This is the thing, this the fact that the CSO and they're sort of sitting in blue rooms while doing some incredible acting. I think the actors were amazing for being able to pull it off. So I am looking forward to watching Underworld again. And also the fact that I've got the DVD, I probably bought it ages ago, I haven't watched it yet. So getting the chance to watch all these brand new untouched DVDs, all I did, I got the DVDs and watched all the extras, I haven't watched the stories yet. So this is a great opportunity for myself. So yes.
We've done this one as well.
Are you saying I have quiz questions available for this?
You should have quiz questions.
Let's have a look then, shall we? If you're wrong.
June of 2014.
If you're wrong, then you'll have 2 points deducted before we even start. Now, what's it called again?
Fine.
Fine. It's so cocky, isn't it? Underworld. Yeah, I do, actually, so you don't have any points deducted. Yeah, the quiz questions were put together on the 1st of June 2014, so they are there, yes.
Now the next one, Invasion of Time, once we get around to it after...
Yes, it'll be after the new series, yes.
Mm-hmm. We should not have quiz questions for that.
Why shouldn't we?
That was episode 90.
Okay.
way back in 2011. I don't think we were doing quizzes then.
Probably not. I can't say that I'll actually have time to, although between now and then I could have time to put some questions together, but and less weddings to do. That's one I might throw in Debbie's direction to try and put together, I reckon.
Yeah, we've got a whole bunch coming up that we have not ever done.
Have we?
Including most of the Key to Time.
Well, I like Key to Time. It's good. I like
Mary
Tam.
Yeah, I like Key to Time too. But we've only done two episodes of the Key to Time. No, right. Three.
But you've got to look at the sad aspect of this whole setup. Right, we've got K-9 is now in Doctor Who. We've got two more stories with Leela before Romana comes into the series. Doesn't matter whether it's Romana 1 or 2. Romana is Tom Baker's sort of last main female companion, because obviously Lyssa and Tegan come in his last story. So we're heading towards, even now, we can think, right, we're heading towards the end of the Tom Baker era. Yes, we've got a whole series of Key to Time. We've got another series after that containing Romana 2, and another series after that, and that's it. So we're getting there. I don't think by the end of the year, but certainly by the beginning of next year, which is when we started the Tom Baker era. And I think I did hint to the possibility that it would take about a year to get through all these stories. So there we go. And then we're into the...
Let's see when we started the Tom Baker's...
We're into the closing stages of the classic era.
We started November of last year, but then we had a big... gap until January.
Yes, dear. Anyway, because we had the new series, didn't we? No, we didn't. Oh, well, never mind. Moving on.
I think you were just...
I want to say goodbye to Laurie, just in case she's still watching, because she just said she's got to dash. Always lovely listening. Always having you listening, Laurie. And Lillian Robin said, I got a 13th Doctor shirt last week. Was that one with the little rainbow stripes on, Lillian?
She posted a picture of it.
Oh, yes, I did see that picture. Sorry, Lynn. I get slightly distracted by some of the other pictures you post, so I do apologize for that. And don't stop posting them either. So, I don't know who's going to be on next week. I would hope that Mrs. Skyver Melrose will be on the show, and I do hope she doesn't decide to Skyve for the weekend of the 20th and 21st of October, because I'm going to rather need her to man the Doctor Who zone, or woman it, while I'm shooting a wedding that day. So we'll need her there, and she's going to get some help, because She Who Must Be Obeyed is going to be there making sure she doesn't do anything naughty like interview doctors when I'm not around. So... yes, so until next time, thank you for watching and listening to the show. See you again. Bye!
Bye-bye, Pants and Pants.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.